the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God, the minutes, you know, our topic today is about the fasting. The literal meaning of fasting is closing the mouth and abstaining from food and drink. This is the literal translation from the Old Testament texts and from the New Testament, the Greek language, which means fasting initially is not the changing of food, but abstaining sometime from eating or drinking, and then eating the fasting food. So the first point is fasting without abstaining is a diet. It's just changing from non-fasting to fasting food. This is the first point. The second point actually is fasting is something we do for two reasons. Number one, our Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself fasted for us 40 days and 40 nights and declared clearly that the devil cannot be cast out except by fasting and pray. So if I pray and don't fast, something missed. If I fast and I don't pray, something also missed. That's why fasting and prayer are going parallel together as a sign of worshiping. This is number one. Number two, we fast because actually we need this fast to have a control on our senses, control on our bodies, and to strengthen our will and our personality, to have something wrong in front of us and we refuse it. And this is the philosophy of fasting. The philosophy of fasting is not just the church puts a burden on our shoulder, you have to fast, you have to fast, you have to fast. No, it's not that. It's because, as I said, our Lord Jesus Christ, He Himself fasted and declared the one condition or the only condition to cast out devils, to overcome the devil, to overcome our weaknesses. That's why it's very demanded for us that we fast. This is number one. Number two, was the fasting something essential from the very beginning, of creation or not? Yes, it was. Why? Because when God created Adam and Eve, before He created them, He prepared all the creation, including everything in the Garden of Eden. Food, trees, fruits, vegetables, everything. And He could have asked them to obey Him in anything. But He asked them just to abstain, just to prevent themselves from eating from one tree in the middle of the garden. And this tree was called tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I asked myself, why the Lord asked Adam and Eve not to eat from this tree? He could have asked them to do anything as a sign of obedience. But the Lord wanted, as he created Adam and Eve from spirit when he breathed in their body, and the body itself which was taken from the dust. He took from the dust and then he breathed and he created Adam. And then he took one rib from Adam and he made Eve for him. So both of them were created from same dust, not from different dust. So you four were not created. You were made from the rib of Adam. Meaning, you are not separated from Adam. You already are taken, or were taken, or still taken from the rib of Adam. You are a part of Adam. That's why in the marriage we say that Adam found his missed rib in this girl, and he married her to complete the ribs in his body. As if it is one body, not two separate bodies. They are one body together. So back to my question. Why did the Lord ask Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree? Why? What do you think? Why did he ask them not to eat? Guess. Any answer? Obedience? Yes? He could have, as I said, he could have asked them any other question. He could ask them, pray and be with me day and night and speak to me all the day, 3 times, 7 times. You could have that. If it is just obedience, but why? Free will. Free will, yes. Free will, as I said, could be any other. Because he wanted that the body and the spirit share together in the obedience. It's not just to obey him by spirit or will by soul. No, but he wanted the body to share with the soul, the body to share with the spirit. That's why he asked them clearly not to eat. He wanted to let the body share with the spirit. As a sign of obedience, we obey God not only by spirit, but spirit and body as well. And if I have faith in him, if I do love him from all my heart, I have to express this love. How? By worshiping the body, by using the body in the worshiping. That's why we fast, or we need to fast. Here, I go to different definitions of the three worshiping signs: prayer, fasting, giving alms. In the prayer, I express my faith in him, in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the prayer, I express my faith in him and I speak to him as a sign that I am sure that you are here, that you are the Lord. In the fasting, I humble myself to him. And even giving alms, I thank him very much because he takes care for the poor and the needy. So prayer, to declare that I have faith in him. Fasting, to speak with him in a humble way. And giving alms to thank him for his caring to everyone. Now to the original sin. When Adam and Eve ate and disobeyed the Lord, three things happened in this day. Three things happened in this day. Number one, when the serpent spoke to Eve and convinced her to eat, read verse 6, Viola. When the woman saw, yes? When the woman saw what good for food to the eyes and the tree unwise. Three things happened. And these three things summarize the definition of sin. When Eve saw the tree, it's a lust of eyes. When it saw it good for food, it's a lust of body. And when they saw that tree is desirable to make one wise, it's the pride of life. That's why I will give you now a verse in the New Testament by one of the apostles, definition to the sin, to the what is in the whole world. Lust of body, lust of eye, and lust of pride. To have pride of life, like God. That's why when our Lord Jesus Christ went up to the mount to be tempted by Satan, you know what happened? The same three struggles, the same three points. Lust of food, lust of eye, lust of body, and pride of life. Explain to me, how did it happen in the mount, in the temptation on the mount? When the Lord was tempted by the devil on the mount, he faced three temptations. The first one, lust of food, lust of body, lust of flesh. This lust of flesh, how did it happen? When the devil asked Jesus, he gave Jesus, you don't remember. In the temptation, the mount. What happened? The devil gave Jesus a piece of stone, and he asked him to change it into bread and eat. He said, you are now 40 days hungry, and you need to eat. Take this stone and make it a bread and eat. This was the first temptation. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ replied him, What was the answer of Jesus to the devil? Huh? Not only by bread, but by every word comes from God. Number two, he took our Lord Jesus Christ up to a very high mountain and said to him, look, all this world, all this creation is given to me. I can give it to you on one condition. Worship me once. Worship me once. When he took Jesus Christ on the mountain and he asked him to worship him, before that he showed him all the creation. We call it lust of the eye. Because he showed him all the creation, lust of the eye. Then the Lord said to him, we worship only God and we adorn him. To the Lord, to God, your Lord, worship. The third one, he took him up to the Heikel, the temple of Solomon, the temple of Jerusalem. And he said to him, yes, you refuse to change into bread. You refuse all the positions of the whole world for one worship. Then you are very good. Through yourself and the angels will carry you and save you from dying. And then the Lord replied him, you should not tempt your Lord. These are the three. So the first Adam was betrayed, Adam and Eve, by the tricky or the sneaky of the devil. But the second Adam, our Lord Jesus Christ, conquered him and defeated him in the three lusts, lust of flesh, lust of eye, and lust of and pride of the life, pride of the life. Now, what the meaning of fasting in the New Testament? The fasting in the Old Testament had a different concept completely from the one in the New Testament. Why? Because our Lord himself fasted for us 40 days and 40 nights. So, not so. We are now, through the baptism and the Mairun, we are now the temple of God. Through our baptism and the Mairun, the confirmation, we have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And St. Paul said, don't you know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you? In another verse, he said, those who are baptized in God, in Christ, put on Christ. Now, actually, we are different from the people outside, but we don't recognize that. We put on Jesus Christ. So when we fast, actually, we fast through him. When we fast actually through the power within us, which is the power of the Holy Spirit and also the presence of Jesus Christ, the dwelling of Jesus Christ in my life. That's why the fasting in the New Testament is completely different. And not only the fasting, but everything we keep, the commandments of the Lord in the New Testament, we keep it through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Does it mean that the Lord takes my freedom, neglect my personality? No, on the contrary. He does that for me because he knows that the most powerful and the most successful life for me is when I behave not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, according to the Holy Spirit within me. That's why I remember now one of the verses in the New Testament, three verses actually, one from St. Peter, one from St. John, and one from St. Paul. Let us start with St. Peter. First Peter, chapter 2, verse 20. Sorry. Sorry, let's just take John first. I'm sorry. Read, please. I don't know your name. Sorry. Febronia? Febronia? Read Febron 16. Of the world. Again, the verse, it says, for all that is in the world, fidashket, three things, and after the dash, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So the Father does not give us this lust when he created us. He created us in a pure way, innocent way. But we took this to ourselves when we, through Adam and Eve, disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. And as I explained, went through these three problems. In Galatians also, maybe number two, hopefully. Number two, very important word, your name. You seen? Please. Read it. This is a golden verse, and this explains how is our life through Jesus Christ actually comes according to the power within us. He said, I was crucified. Were we crucified with Christ? Were you crucified with Christ? You were not crucified with Christ. there on you. Were you crucified with Christ?
No.
Were you crucified with Christ? All of us were crucified with Christ. How come that you say no? Didn't you know that? Didn't anyone tell you that you were crucified with Christ? Not only St. Paul, every one of us. When you were baptized, you were immersed 3 times in the water, in the shape of the burial of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you shared with him the cross, and you announced with him that you accepted the salvation in your body and spirit and soul. So we're crucified already. Not only that, but after crucifixion, you have been confirmed with the Holy Spirit through the Mairun. So with Jesus Christ, when you were baptized with Jesus Christ, you put on Christ. And with the Mairun, the confirmation, you have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then the Holy Spirit came to you and dwelt in you once and forever. Will never leave you, even if we commit any sin or weaknesses or anything. We still are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We still put on our Lord Jesus Christ. Then when we behave according to the will of God, not according to us, not according to our own will. That's why actually I want to come to the following, some important some important explanation about the program of the Great Lent that the Church puts for us to help us in the fasting in the Great Lent. You know why we fast 40 days? Yes. Why? Because the Lord fasted 40 days. Why did the Lord fast 40 days? Because he wanted us through the fasting to live all our life perfectly. The number 10 is one of the perfect numbers. Times 4, the four corners of the whole world, becomes 40. 40 is a symbolic number to say that we are supposed to fast all our life. Not only fast body and spirit, but at least to close our eyes, to close our mouths, to close our senses against the devil. And by fasting 40 days, you have this power to conquer him. So the Church put a very amazing program. I will explain it to you in a few minutes. Today, we start from here. Here is the next Sunday, inshallah. We call it pre-Lent. Pre-Lent is the Sunday before we start our Great Lent. We call the pre-Lent H-O-W. How? The gospel of this day, next Sunday, will be how to pray, how to fast, how to give alms, which is very important. Why? Because we are going to fast 7 weeks, and then the Holy Week, almost 8 weeks, 55 days. And we should not count them, but we are supposed to know how to fast them. Not how many days. No, but just how. How here, which is that the first Sunday before the Great Lent, he says, when you pray, pray in secret place, in your room. And your Heavenly Father, who sees in secret, will reward you in open. And then, when we fast, he said, when you fast, don't make your face like that, as if you are despairing, fasting, and you're looking very weak and very miserable that you are fasting. No, don't let the others notice that you are fasting, or don't show off your fasting. Let your fasting be to your Heavenly Father who sees in the secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in open. When you give alms, don't give alms like the people who show off and let all everyone knows and sees how much I donate and how many one I help. Let be to the Father. In one word, when I help the others, I don't help the others, but I help Jesus Christ in the others. The service does not come to the people. The service is appointed, actually, directed actually to our Lord Jesus Christ. I was explaining, and I like this story very much. When we were in England, my wife was extremely sick, and she was waiting for a heart operation. And then one of the bishops came to visit us in London. And when he knew that Mary is in bed, he said, I want to see her. Our bedroom at the time was very small, just a bed and 60 centimeters between the bed and the wall. So I put a chair to him, and then he entered, and he sat on the ground. And he said, oh, Sayyidina, no, please, sit on the chair. He said, look, Abuna, I am not visiting Mary. I'm just visiting Jesus Christ. I have to sit on the ground under his feet. I'm not visiting a person. You're concept of worshiping God, either praying or fasting or giving alms or helping the other, must be under this understanding. I do not do that for the people. I do it for Jesus Christ himself because of the love. The first one is the social worker. Social activity. The second concept is spiritual activity, spiritual action, that I give it to Jesus Christ through this man, through this lady, through this poor, through this sick, through this needy. This is the pre-Lent. When we come one step forward and come to the first Sunday, first Sunday is very important. We call it the treasure. Aywa, the treasure Sunday. In this, from book of St. Matthew chapter 6, he says, do not... This is what we call the Treasure Sunday. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. That's why we call it the Sunday of Treasure. And this is a very important question. Where is my treasure? Where is my treasure? Is my treasure as an account in the bank or in my very luxury car or my mansion, big house, or in a very high rank position in the world? No. Actually, he said a very important verse. Read Viola, 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Equation, fact. Ask yourself, where is my heart? Is my heart just to pass my exams and finish my bachelor or finish my AC or even PhD or whatever? Is this my heart? Is this my heart? Is to finish and then work and then marry and then have family and become mother, become father, become grandmother, grandfather? So the fact of life is whatever we live on the earth, even 100 years after that, we will leave the world. And this is not non-optimistic. It is not non-optimistic. It is a real. We will leave it. We will leave it. So if are wise enough, we have to put our hearts to the eternal place, the eternal state which we are going to. That's why the first Sunday in the Great Lent is about the treasure. Ask yourself, where is your heart? Is your heart on earth? Then lay up for yourself treasures. Lay your treasure on earth if your heart is on earth. But if your heart is in heaven, then all what you are doing is not a goal in your life. It's a mean. A mean, a sign of your faithfulness. We are faithful in our life. So because we are faithful, our heart is in heaven. As a part of our faithfulness, we behave good, we say good, we think good, we avoid anything obstacle our goal to be in heaven. This is the first Sunday of the Great Lent. When we come up a little bit to the second. The second, our Lord Jesus Christ, to give himself a good example, I will not repeat it, I just pass on it. This Sunday is called temptation. When our Lord Jesus Christ went up the mount and allowed the devil to tempt him in the lust of lust of eye and lust of flesh and pride of life. Bravo aleikum. He conquered the devil in these three. Why did he conquer them in these three temptations? Because he conquered them for our account. He did not need to conquer him, but he conquered Satan through our body, the body that he took from Saint Mary, to give us the same power to overcome the devil in lust of eye, lust of flesh, and pride of life. And then we come to the third and to the fourth and to the fifth. أنا كبرت شوية كبرت شوية ننقص دول بحب كده أعملهم كده. نعمل دي كده بعدين دي كده بعدين دي كده بعدين دي كده. اللي ده هنا 4 5 and then 6. تعالوا بقى هنا بقى very important. This ladder كده takes us step by step by step by step. We started from pre and then the first treasure and then the second temptation and then sorry here is the second, third, fourth, fifth and sixth. In the second, it's temptation, okay? Now he conquered the devil on the mountain. But we say to him, our Lord Jesus Christ, you are God. You are God. It's normal that you conquer the devil. How can we do that? We fall in sin. We face struggles. We face temptations. We face persecutions. We face the fight of devil against us in our purity, in our minds, in our senses. He said, if you are like the prodigal son, in Luke 15, and this is number 3, the prodigal son. You know the prodigal son. Parable. It's in Luke 15. If you are like the prodigal son, I forgive your sins. I said, yes, but I am not very brave like the prodigal son who came all the way to you. He said, okay, no problem. I can meet you even in the place which you are living your normal life. And this is number 4. Samaritan woman. The Lord went all the way until midday at 12 o'clock. And 12 o'clock is the hour of cross, the hour of salvation. And was waiting for the Samaritan woman to come and have water from the well of Jacob. And he met with the Samaritan woman and he changed her life from a sinner woman to a preacher. After he spoke with her and she confessed her sins and she said, I don't have a husband. And said, yes, I know that you don't have a husband because you had 5 men and the man that you live with now is not your husband. I accept your confession. I accept your repentance. As soon as she confessed, he gave her the forgiveness of sins. And then the story ended that she left the den, she left her pot, and went to the people of her village and said, come and see, a man told me everything I've done. See if he's Jesus Christ. And they came And she became a preacher, not only for herself to repent and for the whole village of her Samaritan city. I am not the prodigal son. I am not the Samaritan. I am not able even to go to you. He said on the fifth Sunday, I will go to you. Even if you are like that, paralytic, the paralytic man who were 38 years at the pool of Bethsaida, Bethesda, awaiting for someone to carry him in the pool, as soon as an angel came from time to time to waver on the water. But he didn't find anyone. The Lord went to him, and he not only healed him, but also he forgave his sins. Because he met him after he made this miracle that he healed him, asked him to go. He met him later and said, now you were cured. Do not fall in sin, lest you may have worse. And he forgave his sins. These three steps of repentance explain that the Lord is ready to accept us at any way, by any time, at any time, by any way. He is willing to forgive my sins because he lives in me. When I separate myself temporarily from him, I fall in sin. Then I rush to him again and say, forgive my sins. As a prodigal son, he said, okay. As the Samaritan, he says, okay. As the paralytic man, he says, okay. Even if my sins closed my eyes, as if I am neglecting the power of my resurrection, neglecting the power of the baptism and the Meirun, then comes the last Sunday in the Great Lent, which is, I forgot to tell you, Samaritan woman, John 4. The paralytic, John 5. And the man, John 10. So the blind, the man who was born blind, the Lord created two eyes to him and asked him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash his eyes, and he regained his sight again. So these are the readings of the 7 weeks of the 7 weeks of the Great Lent. The first one, pre-Lent, how? As if the pre-Lent is how? The first one, the treasure. The second one is the temptation. The third one is the prodigal son. The fourth one, Samaritan woman. The fifth man, the paralytic. And the sixth man, the sixth Sunday. The sixth Sunday is the man who was born blind. By the way, I tell you, the church puts a very good right on this very good time of the Great Lent. On the sixth Sunday, we call it the Baptism Sunday. Why? Because in the past, there were catechumens coming from outside the church to learn, to have lessons, year, 2 years, 3 years. When they are ready, they used to baptize all the catechumen on the sixth Sunday of the Great Lent. And then let them share in the procession of the resurrection on the Easter day in the liturgy as a sign of resurrecting, as if they are resurrecting with God now after they were baptized with him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and were confirmed with the Holy Spirit to become a temple of the Holy Spirit. These are the readings of the Sundays, best the feast from Monday to Saturday, Monday to Saturday, another program of reading. But I read to you, I revised with you only the seven readings of the Great Lent. Did you like that? First time to know it? First time to hear it? I'm glad. طب يلا نسمع revise with me. ها لا بس كده مش هم ما عندكم. And the pre-Lent, what we can call the pre-Lent reading, one word, how? The first, the pre-Lent Sunday. The first Sunday, treasure. The second Sunday, temptation. The third Sunday, prodigal son. The fourth Sunday, Samaritan woman. The fifth, the lame man or the paralytic. And the sixth, the man who was born blind. May the Lord give us a very good, successful, and useful, and fruitful Great Lent. We need to fast. And actually, I don't push anyone to make something he is not convinced of. But I say, through my experience in life, for 77 years now, the most beautiful time in the whole year is the Great Lent. And we call the Great Lent the spring of repentance or the season of repentance. Those who are not able to repent during the Great Lent will be very difficult for them to repent at any other time. Try not only, as I said, not only to fast, but also to pray, because the devil cannot be cast out except through prayers and fasting. Fasting without prayer is a diet, changing of food. Prayer of fasting, without fasting, is not strong enough, power enough. We need to share with our spirits and souls. We need the body, the flesh, shares with the spirit and the soul to have a fruitful and growth, spiritual growth in our life. Glory be to God forever. Amen. 1 minute to 10 minutes to 10 o'clock. If you need any question, I'm ready. I'm happy that you are three, and I don't count, because we said the pre-Lent is how, not how many, how. And this is very important. If I can convince three with what we said, it's better than having 100 not convinced, right? God bless you all. I'm very happy that I saw first time to see you. And maybe I saw you, but we didn't speak together. But I am very, very happy to have you. Ida? Montreal? Where Montreal? Which church? St. Mary. Abuna Seraphim. Abuna Seraphim. Abuna Tedros, Abuna Kirillos. Yes. And you, St. George, Montreal also? Ah. Welcome, Abuna Rafael and his staff. God bless you all. You have any question? Was it a little bit boring or you understood it? Really? Thank God. Okay. And the announcements? The only day you can share with us, I don't know your schedule, but we have every day we have liturgy. Monday, this Monday only, will start 10 to 12:30, but Tuesday, Wednesday will be 10:30 to 1, Thursday will be 8:30 to 11, Friday will be 3:30 to 6. Why? Because we many of the students and the employees kinda asked us to have one late liturgy to let them. But this year, I think that Abuna Marcus wants to add a liturgy on Wednesday early in the morning, 5 to 7:30, early in the morning. But it doesn't mean that we break the fast, just we receive the Holy Communion, but we can keep fasting, abstaining up to midday or something like that. So these are the time of our liturgies every day, starting of this Monday. God bless you. Let us pray. Blessed are those who have mercy to give to the poor and fast, pray the Holy. And Son will show mercy, the judgment day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Make us worthy to pray to you thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we do this blessed Jesus. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Christ is our Lord. Amen. We hope to have some time like this letter. We hope to have another ladder in the Holy Week from Palm Sunday to Better Easter.